This is Storyville, true stories by students in the creative writing workshop at the University of New Orleans. You're now going to hear how a strange new contraption changed New Orleans. Here's A Movable Race, written and read by Lakar Musgrove.
Canal Street was unusually quiet for Thursday. Along the broad thoroughfare that divides the city between downtown and uptown, old and new, American and Creole, only a few mule-drawn omnibuses ambled. The offices and fashionable shops were all closed. But at the rail stop in the middle of the avenue, a crowd had gathered, and a breathless chatter rose, peppered with a novel slang. Flyer, header, scorch, shadow steed, and the names Captain Hill and Charlie Guillot. The rumble and hiss of an approaching steam engine soon drowned their voices, and the crowd streamed into the seven cars of the special train. It was Thanksgiving Day, 1887, and everyone on the train was headed to the West End, an amusement retreat on the shore of Lake Pontchartrain. Jolting forward, the train traveled only a few blocks before coming again to a halt at Claiborne Avenue. There, on the oak-shaded neutral ground, another crowd had gathered. Men, women, and children jostled elbow to elbow, standing on tiptoes and craning necks to get a look at the road that ran alongside the tracks. 15 gentlemen, dressed in short pants and close-fitting riding caps, had assembled at the intersection. Each rested his hand on the seat of a strange new contraption, a bicycle. The wheels of these machines measured more than 4 feet high. The pedals were attached directly to the front crank. A small saddle was mounted near the top of the wheel on a steeply arched frame. A tiny wheel trailed behind. Riding these machines, these men were to dash up Canal Street and then the Shell Road along the New Basin Canal to the lake. The train, keeping pace with the cyclist, would provide a moving grandstand for this new kind of spectacle. The Thanksgiving Day handicap was really a race between two men. A.M. Hill was the long-standing champion. He was a transplant from Pennsylvania whose grand jewelry store stood on the corner of St. Charles Avenue and Canal. C.B. Guillot was his closest rival. The native-born New Orleanian had been riding only 1 year, but had already caught up to Hill's competitive speed. At the starting line, the train waited with Hill and Guillot as the slower riders took their head starts. Finally, it was down to the scratch men. The starting gun fired. The two men ran beside their wheels for a few steps, then leapt into the saddles and planted their feet on the pedals. The train rumbled forward and picked up speed, leaving Hill and Guillot behind. The pavement gave way quickly to dirt as the train passed the other riders. From the windows of the seven cars, the passengers howled, shouting the names of their favorite flyers. As the train made the turn toward the lake, Hill and Guillot were close behind, crossing the bridge onto the Shell Road. Soon they were scorching the slower riders, overtaking them one by one. Squinting through the dust, crouched low over their wide racing handlebars, elbows splayed, legs gyrating, face muscles stretched in concentration, they flew at average speeds of 12 miles an hour, half again as fast as a trotting horse. The train pulled ahead again, stopping at the bridge just before the finish line. The passengers streamed out of the cars to catch the finish. As the crowd cheered and shouted, Guillot crossed first, just inches ahead of Hill. The great era of high wheel racing in New Orleans had begun.
Lakar Musgrove has a master's in history from the University of New Orleans. Her story, The Flyers of 87, describing the rise of bicycle racing in New Orleans in the late 19th century, was recently published in Bone Shaker magazine. Storyville's opening theme is composed and played by Irvin Mayfield. This is a production of WWNO in New Orleans. I'm Richard Goodman.